Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Welcome to the Cress Welsing Institute of Psychiatry and Social Research. The Institute is a series of lectures focusing on one topic, and that topic is the system of racism, white supremacy. We respect all shades of black, but we are going to respect black because that is our power.
If you had a choice of colors,
keys to the colors,
which one would you choose, my brothers?
For Dr. Francis Crest Wellson, 1935 to 2016. The Crest theory of color-conscious confrontation are the keys to the colors of white genetic annihilation. As queen warrior, scholar, counter-racist, black gold pearl, she gave us the keys to unlock our love of self for a whole new world.
You see, people all over the non-white world have been programmed to want to be white.
Her color-conscious codification made her one of a special kind. Public enemy number one of white psychoanalysis on the front line. The cause and effect of the iconic ISIS papers is the master key to decode the white psyche on the chessboard of white supremacy.
The issue is racism, white supremacy.
White fear rules in all areas of human life to the core. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war.
You see, we are in a system of racism, white supremacy. The system is going to do everything possible to demean you and to destroy your self-respect. The issue is racism, white supremacy.
Fear of the future is nothing to simply be taken for granted. As a white minority, one-tenth of all the people on the planet.
We are the parent people on the planet. And we are the people who are maximizing our black self-respect.
Under the conditions of war, the love of black self-respect is key to counter the ungodly religion of racism. White supremacy. The theory of the ball games is a black subconscious wake-up call. But the global minority says, don't be caught behind the eight ball.
See, that's why we always say, hey, what's happening? Because we don't know what's going on.
The cause and effect of the iconic ISIS papers is a master key to decode the white psyche on the chessboard of white supremacy.
The issue is racism, white supremacy.
The Crest theory of color-conscious confrontation are the keys to the colors of white genetic annihilation. Keys to the colors.
See, Neely Fuller says, if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and exactly how it works, everything else that you think you understand will only confuse you.
Rest in peace.
There was no day.
Dr. Francis Crest Wellson.
Which would you prefer to be right?
keys to the color.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?
The issue is racism, white supremacy.
Context of white supremacy, Gus T. Renegade, and for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's day, March 20th, 2016. So I have been told also the first day of spring has arrived, unless I have been misinformed. This is our global Sunday talk on racism. As I've said, always eager to hear different views on racism, white supremacy from our listeners all over the world. I encourage folks to chime in if you have questions that you would like to ask some of our listeners who are participating in different parts of the world. Dial in if you have a question. The number to dial, 641-715-640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. And again, this is shorter than our normal program, max 90 minutes. So definitely, if you have a question or would like to participate, this is not the program that you want to lollygag and wait until the last second, because 90 minutes goes a lot quicker than 3 hours. That being said, I see our caller, one of our callers in Canada, a male caller, there should be with us. I will get his line momentarily. I think also we should have with us, looks like she might have got disconnected. I will see if we can nab her back. Andrew, are you with us, sir?
Yes. Good afternoon, Gus. How you doing? You okay?
As well as can be expected. Glad to have you back with us, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry about the last time. I don't know what happened there. Last month, that is. But no, I'm doing great today.
For sure, for sure. And racist interference, as usual, will be suspected. I think I told listeners during the live broadcast that Andrew dialed us. We were doing our program in the month of February. He dialed us. I could hear him. But for some reason, listeners and other folks that were on the call with us, they could not hear him. And as I was trying to dial him back, it was just craziness like I had never seen in trying to dial him back. It was even showing that I was not on a call at the time. So it was rather bizarre, but I'm glad we got him with us this month. Mary, are you with us as well? Let's see. She might have gotten disconnected. I will try to add her back, and I'll also check to see if... we can get Mr. Fox there as well. Oh, she was there. It was showing that she wasn't there. I was not hearing her. Mary, are you there? Can you speak up? How odd. Not, she's saying that she's here, but I'm not hearing her. I'll try, adding her again. See if.
Hello?
Oh, we can hear you. There you are. Outstanding.
I just joined myself back in. It dropped for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Outstanding. Good to hear from you. Andrew, you can hear Mary okay? Andrew, are you still with us?
Wow.
How strange. I can hear Mary. Looks like she is showing up on the switchboard. Andrew, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here, yep.
And you can hear Mary okay?
I can hear Mary fine, yep.
Outstanding, outstanding, great. And I will check in with our caller in Canada and get a reference. Caller in Canada, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I'm here. I'm actually in the States.
Oh, you're cheating. Can you hear Mary and Andrew okay?
Yes, I can hear Andrew, and I think I can hear Mary. Mary?
Yeah, I'm here.
Beautiful. Okay, oh, hi, Mary. I can hear Mary.
Hi.
I can hear Andrew.
Beautiful, beautiful. Do you call in on a regular basis and send in suggestions as well? How do you want to be referenced on the program, sir?
Caller in Canada is fine.
Caller in Canada, we'll stick with that. Beautiful to hear from everyone. I think Mr. Fox should be chiming in as well. If you are with us, Mr. Fox, you can just speak up, sir.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me well?
Outstanding. Crystal clear. Okay, so we already have a good number and should have some other folks who are joining in as well for folks who normally are in the States other than our caller in Canada. Feel free to dial in, have a hand up if you have questions or things that you would like to touch on. We definitely referenced the passing of Dr. Frances Cress Welsing earlier in the year when we did our Sunday Global Talk on Racism. They had the memorial service for her yesterday. Her 81st birthday was Friday, March 18th. We did the audio tribute at the beginning of the program that Mr. Danny Queen created. Mr. Queen has been on the program before. In addition to that, he has spent decades archiving audio material from Dr. Welsing at her Welsing Institute over the years. You can purchase CDs, archived recordings from the Welsing Institute from a huge span of years. They have material going back in the 90s, material recordings that are 25 years old, and even some that are older than that, where it's just, it is a real treasure to be able to go back and listen to her analysis and how consistent she's been, and just hearing her break down things over the last quarter century or so. But you can contact him directly through his website, Danny Queen. PoetDannyQueen.com, his website, where you can email him. He tends to be very good at responding to emails if you would like to get archives or CDs, anything like that. And they should have a DVD of the memorial service that was yesterday in Washington, D.C. Outstanding service. I think some of our listeners had the pleasure of being in attendance. Anything folks wanted to make sure they got in reference to Dr. Welsing before we move forward?
Well, I was at a conference, so hence why I'm in North Carolina today. I'm just at the tail end of it. And I was on a panel that was actually dedicated to Dr. Welsing, but one of the speakers was missing. Two other speakers were there, and one of them was really building on sort of her legacy and where do we go from there, from what she's left us with. So that was pretty interesting to listen to.
Who was this person that was trying to build on this?
Dr. Amani Shiketi Ani at SUNY. She's at SUNY, the same school as that racist that you had on one Sunday, I think a couple Sundays ago. The one who had, was it Professor Grace or something like that?
Professor Shaw, I think you're talking about.
Or Shaw. I don't know where I got Grace from. But yeah, Shaw, yeah. I think she goes to that school, that SUNY program. And I think in her abstract, she mentioned that in SUNY, they're trying to get, whites involved in anti-racism and stuff. And one of her arguments was that, white people must die. Like, whiteness must die. The idea of being white must die. That was one of her tenets.
Hmm.
Yeah. And suggesting that, black people affirming their Africanity, showing the world to be human, could civilize white people. I don't know if I agree with that. I know where she was trying to go with, the difference between, the African worldview and the Eurocentric worldview. I agree with her. I think she was trying to say, we could actually, the one way to end it is civilizing white people through the way we show our humanity. Kind of, I don't know if I agree with her on that. Because my view is kind of like, you can't civilize them. I'll right say it. I'm less optimistic, but I know where she's going. And, I know where she was trying to go with that. I just don't know if white people can really change. I've come to the conclusion that no.
I would tend to be in line with that. Certainly everyone has VGQ, Victims Guarantee Qualification, but if Dr. Welsing's theory of...
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, okay. Not yeah. sure what happened there. Okay, so I think we added...
Oh, no.
I think we just added... I think I just added some other folks to the line, but let's see which person
did we all get dropped at the same time?
I think it was just reconnecting in being added. Can you hear me, Mary?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was just another person called, so it was adding them to the line. Let's see, our caller in Norway, are you with us, sir? I thought he was on with us. Maybe he didn't. I thought we added one. I thought I saw his line ring through. Our caller in Norway, are you with us, sir?
I'm getting a message saying that he's unable to connect because his Skype needs to be updated first.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that... This must be the problem. I think he needs to update his Skype before he can join.
Okay. I will message him that to see if that helps. I thought he was already added on to the line. It looks like I did. I guess for the folks on our free HD line, if they didn't get added, I'm going to add them in. Our caller in Toronto, are you hearing us okay, sir? Maybe he's not there. I'm adding. Looks like we might have got disconnected from the live broadcast line. I'm going to add us back now. Hopefully that won't disrupt anyone from the line or cause any confusion. Man, work a little bit. Not sure why it disconnected from the live line. All right, going to try again to see if this will reconnect us. I will, if anything happens, I'll just redial everyone back. But for some reason, it's not getting me on the live line. I'm going to just try and call that back in, and then I'll just add everybody back on my line once... I can get everything straightened out. Let's see. It disconnected me. I can't do it like that. It's crazy.
This service is provided in high definition by freeconferencecallhd.com. Please enter your your input is invalid. Your input is invalid. Please enter. Access code accepted. This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
All right. It knocked me off the free HD line, but I'm back. That was the difficulty. My apologies for folks who are wondering what happened to the sound, but I got some of the folks that were trying to participate, they dialed in, and it disconnected me from the free HD line, but I'm back, and I'm just adding the folks back to my line who were on with us. Should take a second. Hopefully it won't be too much of a disruption. Okay, so I'm adding them back presently, and hopefully that won't knock us off of the free HD line. See, as I'm adding folks back, looks like Mr. Fox should be back with us.
That's correct.
Outstanding. And I'll pick up other folks as we roll, just so it doesn't bog things down. I heard a caller in Canada, his commentary on the conference he attended in North Carolina with regards to Dr. Welsing and one of the panelists who was present might be interested. We can see if we can get them on the program in the future. Mr. Fox, anything that you wanted to say with regards to Dr. Welsing?
The memorial service, was it yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Was Marimba Arnie there, I heard?
I did see photographs that she was there, yes, sir. I wasn't able to see the service in its entirety, but I did see photographs that she participated.
And I think I read something along the lines of she had to be escorted off the stage because she was feeling ill.
Someone did post that she might have been having some health difficulties. Again, I wasn't present. I didn't get to see it, but I did see some people post that, you know, she might have been having some difficulties.
And we still haven't been able to get in contact with her to actually get her on the cows either.
No, sir. That is something I have failed. I have been fortunate people who have been out and have seen her over the years since we did our book club on her, and they let her know that, you know, we spent, that was, you know, they went up and said, hey, that's how I found out about your work, is they did a book club on you, and we're trying to get her to come on the program, but we just have not been able to make that connection over the years, unfortunately. But she was in attendance yesterday for Dr. Welsing. Hopefully is doing better. I hope people sending out energy for her to, if she was having any health difficulties, to heal, and hopefully she's doing okay, not having any problems.
Hello.
Yes, sir. We can hear you as well.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent.
I read that she declined to go to the hospital anyway, so that was good.
Good, 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 good. I'm glad no serious complications. Andrew, since we heard you speak up as well, did you have any commentary on Dr. Welsing you wanted to get in?
None really. Other than just what I've heard everybody say, because I listen to your podcast as well, Gus. So, you know, a lot of references have been made to the fact that it's a terrible loss. I listened to the podcast that you had when you had a sister on.
Yes, sir.
And they've all been great. And you had not quite recently, you had on, I cannot remember her name, but it was somebody who was linked to her or works in her institute as well, and that was great, very informative. I wish we had something like that over here, really. Mm-hmm. To be honest,
Sabrina Johnson,
that's right, yeah.
Perhaps that's something you all could look into. I think having those sort of institutes and places where Black people can come and just exchange views and put forward concepts, I think that would be extremely productive in us working against racism, white supremacy.
I think so. There are one or two, actually there's quite a few Pan-Africanist groups here, but not all focus specifically on ending white supremacy, you know, and so my personal thought on that is that possibly the focus goes on to a lot of event organizing and not necessarily on ending the power that white people have on planet Earth, and that's always been a particular thing of mine.
Unfortunately, that tends to be a problem here with a lot of organizations, meetings that are purportedly about dealing with racism. They don't have that same focus here either. But the Welsing Institute was not. Welsing Institute was definitely an exception to that rule.
Yeah.
Mary, did you have anything you wanted to add, Dr. Welsing, before we move forward? Any other topics that we'll address for the day? Hopefully, it looks like she's still there. Do you have any comment? Or if you are with us, Mary, did you have any comments you wanted to add, or just listening? Double check and make sure she's still there on the line with us. Oh, okay. She's still with us. Outstanding. Moving forward, I had a big list of topics that I wanted to cover or at least ask about as we proceed through the conversation. I'll kind of save the U.S. presidential election for later in the broadcast if folks have comments about what you all are seeing internationally as it relates to that. I guess before I look at some of the topics that I had, anything that you all specifically wanted to make sure was touched on, questions that you wanted to ask, or just things that have stood out to you since we kind of last had our Global Sunday Talk on Racism last month?
If it's all right, I would like to just give one update on that work-based racism episode thing, if that's all right.
Absolutely, proceed.
Should I wait until you're ready for that in the show or in the program or?
If you would like to update us right now, that is perfect.
Yeah, well, a few things. God, a few things. One, you may or may not remember that they were that the head. You know, is, for those that don't know, it's I'm a school teacher, and this is related to the last school that I worked at, and the senior team plus a head of faculty coming off with what white people normally come off with when they feel that they need to or can. They did a whole load of stuff in that school. One of them was calling the student a nigger, and other racist things that they decided to sort of do. Anyway, they sacked the head teacher about a year and a half ago now, and so they've been without a head teacher, and they've been looking to hire a head teacher about, you know, for the last sort of few months. Well, I found out 2 weeks ago that they hired the head teacher that called a student a nigger. Or rather, what I should say is that he was an assistant head teacher. He called a black student a nigger. His friend called a black student a nigger. When I say his friend, I mean someone that he knew prior to working at the school. This same person, who was a senior teacher, came up and placated that behaviour, meaning that he said to that same student, "Well, you black children, you know, you lot call each other niggers. It's a term of endearment, blah 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 blah. So what's wrong with this? You know, this teacher doing the same thing? Effectively, that's what he said, right? So that man, right? Bearing in mind that he also presided over a failing school in the first year of its startup, they decided to hire him as the head teacher of that school. Right. So that's the governors that decided to hire him as the head teacher. Now, because I spoke to one of my friends who still works at that school, and the only thing I could think up is that nobody else went for the job. You know, either no one else went for the job, or they, you know, they're just happy with his behaviour, or both. You know, or he's the right man for the job. So anyway, that's one thing. But the other thing is that we've put the tribunal. It's going to tribunal, and the first step is for the other side to answer our official document, so to speak. So we put it in, and they've got until next Friday, or if you like Thursday, because next Friday is Good Friday in this country. So they've got until next Thursday now to basically say, "Yep, we don't want to settle. We are going to fight this, and we're going to take it to tribunal as well." They've got until next Thursday to come back on that one. And again, for those that don't know, it's for a multitude of issues perpetuated by them to two members of staff, three if you include me. But I've left the school now, so you know it's the two existing black male members of staff. So and there's been other things as well. So one, if you like, grievance. When I say grievance, you're talking about a long document that was put in by one black male member of staff. That went to investigation, that's not correct. We put in a document outlining the whole issue. They got a supposedly independent investigation company in, who apparently investigates stuff like this. Their report came back, and it basically says that the other side has nothing to answer. What they did say, though, they did say basically what they said. What it amounts to, what they said was there were failings on the part of the management, and they basically are saying that these failings have led to an air where different things can happen. However, it's nothing apparently that tightening up systems and that sort of thing, you know, tighter line management can't solve. So effectively, that is the line of their report. I knew that was going to be the line, So we were always going to take it to tribunal, you know, because effectively, if they were going to say anything other than that, then basically they'd have to then be pointing fingers at the senior management. Okay, so they're not really going to do that. So that's where it is. So we're waiting for them to come back next, you know, literally, but you know, by the end of this week, by Friday or by Thursday, as to whether or not they're going to settle out of court or whether or not they're going to, you know, whether or not they're happy to take it to tribunal. So we expect, I'm expecting them to take it to tribunal. That's what I'm expecting.
Wow. Andrew has updated us on his workplace situation before. Should be in the archives on our Sunday Global Talks on Racism. I guess with the two components, the first one, just for clarity, the person who got this position as headmaster at the school, was it his colleague who had called a student a nigger? It was not him directly. It was a colleague or a friend of his that had done this?
Right. So the person who they just made appointed to head teacher, it was his friend.
Okay.
That did it. And his friend is what you call a head of faculty, right? So effectively, you've got head of, you know, in the school, you normally got head of faculty, and then you've got senior staff, and then you've got head teacher, right? So head of faculty is, you know, it's a senior position, right? You know, you've got departments that you line manage, you know, you've got heads of department that you line manage, right? So that's what's happened.
Wow. Should be no surprise for folks in the States in terms of racist colleagues, friends, what have you, getting promotions to jobs and what have you. I suspect that this white person did not speak out staunchly in opposition to this abusive, incorrect treatment. To say, hey, we're not going to tolerate these sort of racist antics if I am headmaster, that sort of thing. White supremacy, zero tolerance for white supremacy, any school that I'm in charge of. With the second aspect of it, that sounds extremely consistent with here in the States. If there's an allegation of mistreatment of non-white employees and it goes to trial or what have you, it generally will not be, yeah, these people were practicing racism, white supremacy. It will generally be maybe some mistakes were made, but, you know, we just need to go back in and work as a team and we can correct all of this. Certainly no one will be indicted as a racist. It will not be, oh, yeah, these guys were practicing racism, these gals were practicing racism, and they need to be fired. They need to be terminated immediately. It will not be that sort of thing. It will generally just be, oh, maybe some mistakes were made, but we just need to have a conference and everybody get our notes together and we'll have this all cleaned up by lunchtime.
And that's, that's where it's gone so far. In my years of working in this country, I have never, ever heard of any organization admit to being racist. The police, in this country, had something called the McPherson Report, which was an independent. I mean, to be fair, that was a good report done about the Metropolitan Police in England. And what was good about that report is that it categorically slammed the police for being institutionally racist. Now, that was a rare thing. It's, to my knowledge, that's not happened, before or since. And I don't think that's ever going to happen again. I think they're putting safeguards to stop, to stop any independent organization coming in and being honest. And so I don't think it does not surprise me about the outcome of their investigation. That's apparently independent. I think in all of this, what I've said to the other guys, the other guys that are, that are pushing this to tribunal, what I've said to them is, whether we succeed or not, for me, the main point is that they've got to understand that that the cost of doing this kind of business, right, is going up, that they're basically going to have sleepless nights doing it. And they've got to know that, when they look at a black person, they've got to know that that black person, might be like us. That black person might be prepared to take it all the way, I think that, if nothing else, right, that they've got to understand that that, you know, they've got to see that in every black face that they look at, you know. As long as that happens and they tread very carefully, right, I think that's not a bad, not the best result, but that's not a bad result, if only that, you know. And obviously for us to have no fear as well, because sometimes you could be afraid.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. I think he had explained that before, and I think Mr. Fuller would call that just driving the cost of practicing, doing the business of white supremacy, making it more costly for racists, that people, black people, non-white people, are not just going to accept mistreatment without saying anything and doing as much as they can to contest racist opposition at every turn. I think Mary should be back with us. Looks like I heard you. Are you with us there, Mary?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Crystal clear.
Okay.
If you all had questions for Andrew, as I said, or if other folks had things that they wanted to make sure that they mentioned, either observations, things you've seen over the past month that you wanted to make sure that you spoke to, or questions you wanted to ask, if other folks had commentary, feel free. Nothing standing out?
Oh, wait. There's one thing that comes to my mind.
Yes, sir.
That's really interesting. So, I believe this happened in some of the states after, but in Toronto, our Pride Festival is going to, I guess, showcase Black Lives Matter Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really intrigued to see why that is, what the catch is, because, you know, with this refining white supremacy, because apparently I was told that they had been criticized the year before for centering white gay, cis gay males, because for some people who don't know, cis is the opposite of trans, cis being biological and trans being transgender. And yeah, so I'm wondering if it's a response to that, just using symbolism to just say, oh, we're not racist, blah, 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 blah. But what's really interesting is that Black Lives Matter Toronto is having a freedom school, like I guess a summer program, to educate black children in Canada about you know, black history from a quote-unquote trans femme perspective. I don't know the details of that perspective. But what's interesting, they're using LGBTQ theories, but I find it surprising that they have to apply for crowdfunding and Pride isn't providing anything.
Wow. That's interesting on many levels. But I mean, just I'll get the last thing first. Generally, I think a lot of times in the States, people have noted that I can at least speak with the White Privilege Conference. Black people, when I was present there in 2010, there were black people who were speaking openly saying that they were not pleased that white LGBT organizations and or individuals had been able to contaminate a conference that was supposed to be primarily focused on white supremacy to add all of these issues dealing with gay rights, because they were funding the White Privilege Conference, not entirely, but they were contributing funds to the White Privilege Conference. And so they were upset that they had been able to buy influence, if you like, in what issues were going to be presented at this conference that was supposed to be addressing racism. And I think many other folks have observed that that tends to be a pattern where these racist-dominated, white-dominated gay organizations, LGBT, as they say, organizations have been able to influence often by funding. So it's a little bit surprising that they're not contributing funding if this is going to be done in these freedom schools where they're presenting from a feminist or LGBT perspective. That's one. Two, it's pretty telling, because I think Mr. Fuller and others have talked about the creep of these ideas where black people bombarded with either being accused of being homophobic and or putting black people out front and making sure that it centers when we're talking about gay issues. We got to make sure that this is targeting black people. Black people got to be talking about gay issues, LGBT issues on a regular basis, and why that is, and even opposition to that, saying that that's just another strategy of racism, white supremacy. That is Wow. Extreme. I would even, my conclusion would be that that is something that is extremely dangerous, especially if this is supposed to be something that is targeting children with that level of sophisticated gender confusion, in my view. I don't know if other folks have commentary on that.
I was just going to say that I think it's a way, number one, to contaminate the children. Number two, it's a way to drag every other group that is seen as a minority group, like black people, into something. So you put the black people out in front first, so they take all the hits, and then you come in with all these other groups afterwards and try and say that everyone's on the same level. If you're gay, it's akin to being black, you're got the same type of disability, in inverted commas. And then what ends up happening is that the black people get swept to the side, and then those other groups get all the funding. Affirmative action is a great poster child for that kind of thing happening.
Absolutely. I would not be surprised at all. I think, was that Andrew? You had commentary on this one as well?
I just want to say that in this country, before I started teaching, I was a youth worker. And I just remember in one of the youth clubs I worked, I mean, this is 15 years ago now, I just remember seeing a poster up on the wall of the youth club, and I don't know who put it there. And the poster had four couples. It had a white woman and a black man in what as one couple, and then a white woman and a black man, and then a black woman and a white man, and then a black man and a white man, and then something else. But you know, but all of it, as Mary just said, is just to spread confusion. That's all it really is. Specific, you know, as well as that, you may or may not know that with some of the African countries, they've had issues around getting aid from certain European countries because of their views on same-sex relationships, if that's what people want to call it. And so effectively, that, you know, black countries and black communities have had this, are having this stuff forced on them, you know, worldwide. I'm glad that there appears to be a lot of resistance to this stuff, you know, so.
Absolutely. I think we had even talked about that on one of the previous programs. I think Uganda and some of the other areas where they have been less receptive to this, where they've talked about, hey, you're not going to get any dollars if you're not going along with our, you know, homosexual agenda. And I think there were a lot of black people on the continent who were directly connecting this to racist intervention, even if they're using terms like neo-Western imperialism and phrasing in that sort of way. They're connecting this to white people that are trying to come in here and force their, you know, corrupt sexual values on us. And if we're rejecting it, then they're not going to give us any money.
That's right. Yeah. And you see, there is a massive long history. I don't know if people know this, but there's a massive history of Europeans doing, you could call it sex tourism, but it's more than that, because basically a lot of child molesters go roam all over Africa looking for children. You know, so there's, there's a program on TV here, right? And it just, you know, it just highlighted the police chase, right, for sex offenders who have fled to Africa, you know, and the Caribbean too. They roam all over the place, right, to countries that they feel they can have greater access to small children, and so a lot of them are hibernating in Africa, you know. So all of it is part and parcel of the same thing, you know.
I'm sure there are, before I get our call in Canada, I was just going to say, I'm sure there are a sizable number of listeners, either listeners and or people who would hear a conversation and some of the views that have been presented and say, now, wait a minute, how did you all make a leap from them doing a program in Canada that is supposed to be about educating black youth from a feminist LGBT perspective? How did this conversation move to black people being sexually abused, child molesters and what have you. That's not the same thing at all. That's not connected at all. And you're doing a disservice to the way that you discuss these issues and even talking about LGBT issues and having to bring up child molestation and what have you, that has those are totally mutually exclusive topics and have nothing to do with each other. I would simply submit under the system of racism, white supremacy, anytime that white people come bringing any conversations about sexual intercourse, as has been suggesting that white people and non-white people are together sexually, suggesting any sort of sexual activity beyond male, female, saying that anything beyond male and female is sex within the system of racism, white supremacy, is highly suspicious, and that their record of raping black people and sexual deviance against black people, that cannot be discarded and should be brought up and made central in any conversations that they are a part of directly or indirectly related to black people and sexual activity. That's just would be my assessment for the record. Caller in Canada, did you have something you wanted to add?
Oh, I think I posted sometime last week something about a white American racist male that was in Africa doing the exact thing, doing that type of molestation. I just can't remember if I posted it or not.
It's rampant. They have been talking the UN. They've been talking about different UN workers who've been accused of sexual misconduct on the continent. They were talking about this same thing down in Haiti when they sent in aid relief workers after the earthquake, that there was widespread sexual abuse. Continent-wide, not to mention, you know, the Daniel Holzclaw situation. And again, I would just submit to people that are saying that the LGBT thing, it would just be about making an assessment under racism, white supremacy. I do not see white people coming to black people for things that are constructive. I do not see them coming to us with ideas, information on starting businesses, being able to, you know, get a raise on your job, being able to deal with workplace racism when white people are trying to mess you up there so that you can go to school, so that you can try things that are constructive that would help black people solve some of our problems. I do not see it nearly the same vehemence. I do not see nearly the same amount of enthusiasm that they present for saying that black people, hey, you got to get on this LGBT thing. You all are so homo. We got to get you, you know, correct way of thinking on this. I just don't see that from whites with other areas of people activity.
Well, you're right. I completely agree. I think when you had, because I listened to some of your discussions with Cleo Minago in the past, like I listened to them recently, of course, because of the podcast. And I like how he came out with a whole different concept of sexuality, like for black people specifically, because, you know, just from an intellectual perspective, I find with these queer and trans theories, and this is why I'm very, very critical of integration, as you notice, because when we're integrated with white people, we internalize some of their ideas. So when they have a problem, we think it's their our problem. You're like, mass is sick, we sick too. We have that mentality with sexual theories, and we don't really develop our own. I think it's hard to develop your own when you have white theories and posts. Because with LGBTQ, I noticed they don't support any alternative sexuality theories that don't support white thinkers, which I find it very revealing that the only thinkers we can use for sexuality are someone like Michel Foucault or Judith Butler, some white person, a white male, female, whatever gender distinction they're using. And that to me says a lot. Then you have black people now who are tied to these identities emotionally will not want to have very few will want to have a critical conversation about how white normative and how Eurocentric queer theory is or trans theory is. Anytime you say that, it's like you're attacking those black people. And I feel that's part of why some blacks may think that out of confusion in terms of how black people deal with sexuality, think that aligning with them will fill both sides of them. We'll get acceptance now from LGBTQ. We'll get black people to stop being homo antagonistic, queer antagonistic, what have you. And that's it. And this is why I think it's incredibly important, as you were saying, to emphasize in the plantation era of white supremacy that slave masters were gay and, or in retrospect, you might say queer. And I think it's important to emphasize that, like, I find white women and white LGBTQ people get written off the narrative of racism completely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That happens all the all the time. I would, just since his name was mentioned, Cleo Monago, I'm pretty sure if he heard this conversation that he would, I'd be willing to bet a sizable sum that he would say something to the effect of, this is not a rational conversation about sexual activity and black people not being accepting of same gender loving relationships amongst black people, and that's why whites have been able to make such tremendous inroads in doing this, because black people that are engaged in these sexual behaviors are not accepted, and they're mistreated, they're vilified, and that black people can't be rational about these ideas. He said that many times on this program. He said that many times on my Facebook pages and groups for the Cows program. I'm pretty sure that's something close to what he would say about this conversation, which I do not think is logical. In fact, I even think that there's an element of anti-blackness, because it seems to be, if you're a black person and you are not supportive of quote-unquote same gender loving or LGBT anti-sexual behavior, it gets suggested that you are not rational, that there's something deficient about your thinking about all of this if you do not accept these behaviors and or connect this with a racist plot to confuse black people sexually.
Could I just say,
yes, ma'am.
Caller in Canada, that was an absolutely excellent breakdown that you just gave there. That was really, really spot on.
Right on. I also wanted to, if other people had topics that they want to make sure they included, and I want to get our callers in as well. Again, kind of putting the presidential race for later. I think I guess if people want to think about Donald Trump's popularity here in the States and the commentary associated with his rallies and how black people have been attacked and the immigrant situation where they've been talking about, you know, we need to put a wall up on the border and we've got too many immigrants and all of this. I think what a lot of people would go ahead and be honest about and just say this is openly white supremacist rhetoric. There's been a lot of that worldwide. In Germany and France and a lot of the predominantly white countries, it seems like this has coincided, that this is not something that is isolated to whites in the U.S. Have you all seen or can you speak to in your specific areas this rise in just seems to be a very open, explicit anti-white supremacist rhetoric in a wide spectrum of areas? Can you all speak to what you've been observing in 2016?
Well, I think what happened on Twitter is that a bunch of like Americans, I guess include some black people in there, want to move to Canada. And this is why I like that you stress white supremacy is global. And a lot of Canadians use this as an opportunity to confuse black people. Oh, see, we're not racist. Look at Justin Trudeau, our current prime minister. Oh, with Obama doing all this crap. So it just becomes a way of confusing black people. That's why I think, honestly, I would love to have, even though we had a mayor who was very similar to Donald Trump and a prime minister who pushed very identical policies, he just didn't have as an outspoken personality. I think it goes back to what Sabrina Johnson was saying when she was on the show, if I said her name right. It is Sabrina Johnson, I think. When she said, we have to look at Trump as part of a society. We have to be asking, why is Trump getting this support? And I think it's important to look at the fact, like you said, there's other examples in Europe that are like that, like Angela Merkel in Germany, you know, who's very much against multiculturalism. But people just often, I think I really get annoyed when people, especially in Canada, think that they're better than America when racism, white supremacy is alive and well here.
Mm. So, other folks want to comment on this topic?
I think that Donald Trump has risen to popularity, and I think he may very well be our next president, because white people feel that they don't have to hide how they really feel about you anymore, and they just want you gone, and they're rallying together to make that happen. So I think that Donald Trump is in more or less emboldened other white people globally just to get the job done, as he would put it, just to let you know you're not welcome. We'll try and annihilate you if we possibly can, and we're not going to be polite about our hatred for you anymore.
You said you feel like Donald Trump is empowering white people, not just in the States, but globally. Can you give us an illustration of how you think what's happening here is influencing the whites in your part of the world to just be more explicit about their dedication to white supremacy?
I'm hearing a lot of sentiment that although they think he's a bit of a nut job, what he's saying is not exactly wrong, or what he's saying is not far from what they truly think. See, in the UK, white people are very polite about their racism for the most part. So they can use this as an excuse or as a talking point to say that, you know, this is how politics should really work. So at my workplace, I was working with a guy who's right-wing conservative, and he tries to hide his bigotry, but he doesn't. I've heard him in the breakout room speaking about how Donald Trump is a bit of a nutcase, but then there's a bit of sympathy in his voice. Like, he really does feel a kind of kinship with Donald Trump's ideas. So you can see that a lot of these people really do think like that. It's just that now they feel someone said it, and now it's out in the open. So it creeps more into their conversations. And what I do at work is I don't really speak. I kind of listen to what people say. And there's a lot of people from the Antipodes at the place where I work. And just to hear them speak, and remember, they don't come from the States. They don't come from the UK. They don't really come from Australia, let's face it, but that's where they were born. And to hear them speak along with white people from other parts of the world, because where I work, it has people from different parts of the world. The voice is the same. What they're saying is the same. So they're all on the same page with how they feel.
Fascinating. Other folks have observations on how white people are functioning in different parts of the world, if you're seeing the same increase in whites just being more explicit in their dedication to white supremacy?
Can I just add to what Mary just said? What I've heard is just the fact that you've had the far right. So you've had what they call them, the BNP and Farage's party and people like that ringing up radio programs saying that, you know, just like Donald Trump is saying in terms of an immigration problem, you know, we've got an immigration problem here. We need to close the borders, blah, 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 all that. So it is the same stuff. It is the same stuff. And so you've had the polite middle class feel embarrassed about the obviousness that the that the sort of white trailer trash, if you like, you know, how they're coming off with this with blatant racism, and they're trying to give it a more nuanced view. In fact, the white middle classes have basically said, you know, we don't want him here, we're okay, blah 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 blah. So they're showing embarrassment about that doesn't mean they disagree with him. They just don't want it. So they just don't want it to be made so blatant, because that's all, you know. So that's all it really is. As Mary said, there's a nuanced racism in the UK, and the white middle class racists often get embarrassed with the poor white racists. But it's the same cake. Do you know what I mean? You know, so. But can I ask a question though? You've got white people in America voting for Donald Trump. What's the African American response? Is it to try and garner votes for another representative to represent African Americans, or has the Obama sort of effect completely dissipated into nothingness? How's that working?
I think some of our callers, I'll open their lineup. If you all give me like two minutes, I'll open their lineup. They can give you some of their perspective on this as well. I'm kind of seeing multiple responses. I think some black people are pouring their efforts into trying to get different people elected. They, you know, are saying that we can't have Donald Trump. Let's get Bernie Sanders in. We can't have Donald Trump. Let's get Hillary Clinton in, a different white person. Some black people have just voiced open disgust with the entire process. Some of the people that are in different sections of the Black Lives Matter movement, they use that title to identify with, have said that they're not endorsing anyone, that they're just very dissatisfied with all of the white candidates at this point, and they're not endorsing anyone. Some people there, I've even seen polls that have suggested that there is a much lower turnout in black voters as opposed to the presidential election in 2008, 2012, which could be a part of the quote unquote Obama effect, since he's not running and they're not pleased with the candidates. You have a drop off in black participation. I've seen some black people that are protesting. They've had a lot of different reports showing black people that are going to Donald Trump rallies and protesting or even trying to shut the rallies down so that they don't happen. So it seems to be a varied amount of responses to Donald Trump. And I would even say a smaller number. Certainly some of the people who've called in to our broadcast, I know Sabrina Johnson was in this group. I know Dr. Francis Kress Welsing was in this number and saying that they hope that Donald Trump is elected president because it will make it very clear that we are in a system of racism, white supremacy. So it will make it much more difficult for victims of racism and even other whites to be in denial about racism, white supremacy. I think there are even some black people who have taken that position, that they're hoping it is Trump because it'll just make it, you know, obvious the world in which we live is the system of white supremacy.
Right. Okay.
I would agree with that. I do want him to win, to be honest with you.
That is Mr. Fox giving us our commentary there. For the same logic, I guess, that Dr. Welsing, Sabrina Johnson, some others have heard, that it'll make it easier to identify and acknowledge that we are indeed in a system of white supremacy.
Most definitely, because no one can hide it then.
Yep, I've had that view. I've started having that view for about several weeks now, and it seems to be the case. And I think Malcolm X, in a similar context, made the same thing about a guy running. I think his name was Darkwater, but there's a clip going around YouTube about what Malcolm X said about Darkwater, that he would finally get, you know, maybe the Negro to wake up. And I think Trump is the best way, because I think Andrew, in one of the discussions a few weeks ago, made a great point that people tend to not want to address racism unless it's affecting them personally or it's up front. And the more, and I think it's apparent everywhere, but I think in Canada especially, where the refinery of white supremacy is excellent, excellent job, I think it needs to be something in our face. I kind of want Trump to be in Canada, to literally get black people to realize that, no, white people are, this is how white people really are. And I think that's the biggest weakness, particularly in Canada. The form of confusion we have is that we think there are good white people. There are very few black Canadians who will tell you that all white people are racist. I know some of them. I can probably count them on my finger. So I like seeing Trump for that reason. Unfortunately, it's going to involve certain actions and certain harms. But the way our society is and the way we're very uncritical, I think that's the only way to get it done. I think a person like Clinton just confuses black people, and she knows how to do it from her husband, a little bit of Obama, just generally knowing American history. And I think the African voter turnout that favors her reflects that. Sanders, I would have liked Sanders to win, because I think black people are critical of him, though he has slightly better ideas than Clinton. But I think mainly the fact that black people will be critical of him, Clinton, I think is a nightmare. I think that's the worst possible option for black people is Clinton, by far.
Can I just add to that I think they're all different sides of the same coin. At least Donald Trump is in your face about his racism, so there's no mistaking, like you guys have pointed out. Bernie Sanders, that's a trick bag, because he doesn't even want to discuss things that will empower black people, but he doesn't mind empowering other groups. For example, allowing Jews to have reparations, but black people, when it comes to us, it would be divisive. Those are the words that came out of his very lips. And Clinton, she's the biggest shill of them all. She and her husband created the pipeline to prison. Three strikes, you're out. She even said last July, that, you know, you should fear black people in hoodies. She loves Margaret Sanger. What more do you want? She's just a more polite version of Donald Trump, which is more insidious. At least he's in your face about what he intends to do. So it's up to you if you lay there and die and take it, or whether or not you do something about it.
I want to get our some of the folks who dialed in might be stateside who have either questions or comments that they want to add to the dialogue. I just wanted to, or I guess two quick comments. I guess number one, I think some of this is because former President Bill Clinton, I think there are a subset of black people who are somewhat critical of Hillary Clinton just because of some of the policies that Mary just laid out that they're familiar with. So they kind of, they have some suspicion that Hillary Clinton is the Clinton period. The Clintons period have not been the best for black people. And that's not most black people, I don't believe, but there are a subset of black people who have consistently and publicly called her out. I think you'll see different mainstream reports where they talk about the Clintons and their connection to the explosion in the population of incarcerated black people in the U.S. and the quote unquote war on drugs, their activity in Haiti as well, where they certainly have not benefited black residents in that part of the world. I feel like in comparison to Bernie Sanders, at least it's been my experience, that black people tend to be a little bit more critical of Hillary Clinton than Bernie Sanders. It's been my experience. I've only seen a limited amount of critique of Bernie Sanders as a possible racist white man. I think there were some of the Black Lives Matter protesters here in Seattle that disrupted his meeting when he was here in Washington State. I think Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote a piece just about exactly what Mary laid out in terms of him saying that he would not support reparations specific policies to aid black people victims of racism, that he would not do that, although he's for all of these other policies that would be divisive. I have not seen as much of that sort of criticism. And even like Ta-Nehisi Coates, he got a lot of criticism from other black people saying that Bernie Sanders is our best option and he's doing things that would help black people, that would work against racism. They were critical of Ta-Nehisi Coates writing this piece that they felt was, you know, slamming Bernie Sanders unjustly. I even heard some black people. So I'm not sure. There seems to be, like, I hear a lot more vigorous support of Bernie Sanders from non-white people, as though he is a great white guy and he represents the anti-racist choice in the 2016 presidential race. The only other quick thing, if people can certainly, they can add, we have other callers in the U.S., they can add their thoughts on that as well. There was just one report I wanted to add to the global nature. This is not just Donald Trump. There was a report in the Independent, co.uk. This came out this week on Friday, no less. It's titled Revealed, the Neo-Nazi Manifesto Targeting Single Mothers and Mentally Ill That AfD Doesn't Want You to See. AfD is the Alternative für Deutschland. This is a political party in Germany that is supposed to be explicitly for white people in Germany, even though they don't use those type of terms. I'm just going to read a quick paragraph that, man, Dr. Francis Kress-Welsing. So the party's manifesto makes it clear that the AfD wants a return to what it calls national values. I would substitute the term white or white supremacist in for national. White supremacist values in Germany. It says it sees the traditional family as the only model which can reverse the country's declining birth rate. To this end, the party pledges to take steps to ban abortion and make divorce more difficult. By contrast, German families which produce children should be rewarded with financial incentives. And they go on to give more commentary about this, trying to make sure that they're producing more German children. You can just insert white, and that they should de-incentivize if there's not going to be a family, if it's going to be a single parent home. They want to make sure that they have white mothers and white fathers together raising their children and having more white children. They go on in detail about this and even downplaying some of the focus on Nazi Germany in the political system in the 1940s and 50s or during the 1930s and 40s. They want to downplay some of that and talk about other parts of German history. It is fascinating. This is something that I really would have loved to get Dr. Welsing's perspective on. But this is happening in Germany right now, where they've had a pretty and this party has gained a lot of political momentum, the AfD, and a lot of it is we don't want any more of these non-white immigrants here. We're tired of Angela Merkel's open border policy and letting all these dark people in. Germany is supposed to be for white people. That's kind of been the stance that they've taken. Let me nab some of our callers. Folks have commentary that they would like to add, see if they have any questions or comments on what we've been discussing. Let's see. The person that called in, I guess you're on the vote line. Did you have a question or comment that you wanted to add? Caller on the vote line.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I just wanted to add in some commentary based on a question that one of the callers asked about Dr. Creswell Singh's memorial that was held yesterday. I was in attendance there, and I'll just share that. In fact, Melinda Anish did have an event while she was on the stage sharing her views about Dr. Creswell Singh. 911 did get called, but they took care of her right there on the premises, and she actually and she completed her views or sharing her experience with Dr. Wilson, and it was quite powerful. And so hopefully that DVD that I mentioned on yesterday's call will become available, as I pointed out. And the other thing that was shared during that event, during the memorial, was that the Institute, Dr. Wilson's Institute, will continue. They're also developing materials for educating children from K through 12. It's the Creswell Singh Love Fund, because of Dr. Creswell Singh's sister, Lauren Creswell. She's putting a fund together, and they collected donations there and are asking for people to donate if they're able to support that effort so we can continue to access all the knowledge that Dr. Welsing left for us. And that's all I wanted to share.
Awesome. Awesome to hear Dr. Marimba Ani was well and was able to continue with her remarks. And definitely awesome. I know Sabrina Johnson talked about that when she was on the program in terms of continuing the Creswell-Singh Institute and then providing materials for children, particularly young black children. That is priceless information. And again, we'll post the details so that folks can contribute, can get the DVD, can get more information to help continue the efforts. But definitely good to hear on all fronts. The caller at 9401, if you had questions, commentary you wanted to add, you should be with us.
Hello, can you hear?
Yes, ma'am. If you could speak up a tad, that would be great.
Oh, I'm just listening. Thank you.
All right, on. No problem. Raj, you should be with us if you had questions or commentary.
Yes, greetings to you, Gus, and to all of the, excuse me, all of the callers and the participants. Yes, I did. First, I wanted to just acknowledge that today is the 100-year anniversary of Oda Benga committing suicide due to his mistreatment in the Bronx Zoo and throughout the United States as a human primate display. So I just wanted to speak on that. Also, I found it very telling that what you just read about in Germany, the fact that they're trying to solidify the white family structure to produce more children, it's definitely a wealthy moment. But I'm very telling that worldwide, white people are spending their time perpetuating anti-sexual behaviors throughout the African world to destroy the black family. And we have been essentially just inculcated with white supremacist, anti-sexual, psycho-cultural behavior. And I thought about when you were talking earlier about how at black events they tend to focus on anti-sexual issues and adding LGBTQ and all the other letters that they choose to add to the alphabet. It really speaks to the fact that they're trying to basically separate black people on the premise of sexuality. And it made me think of James Baldwin, because even in Leonida McLean's reading this past Friday, there was a brief segment that she quoted from him. And if you look at James Baldwin, as prominent as he was as a gay black male, the one thing you could say about him was that he understood the importance of him focusing on racism, white supremacy as a black male, and he put his sexuality as a second to that. Whereas today, black people who are practicing homosexuality or any other form of sexuality that's not natural sex essentially are being trained to put their sexuality above their blackness and the fact that it's the racism that's causing them the problems. And it also made me think of When we did the reading on the Half Has Never Been Told, and you discussed the American slave codes, the systematic rape of black children and black women, and that were basically child age, it made me think of the so-called, when they put out the idea that black people are the most homophobic people and things like that, maybe those black people who are violently against homosexuality is a remnant, even in our DNA, of our memory of the systematic rape of our people. So being that that is a white cultural phenomenon that was imposed on us, it wasn't something that historically African people were ever involved in, maybe that's what's driving that behavior. And sadly, it's an anti-blackness issue in which we now have to make room for these black people who have these issues simply because Dr. Welsing talked about the things that they're putting in the water and the things they're putting in the food that can change a person on a genetic level and a mental level from a heterosexual into a homosexual or antisexual. So we now have to make room for these people who have been damaged by the system of white supremacy in that way. I found it interesting when you brought up Cleo Monago, because I've listened to those episodes as well, and about something being wrong with black people who do not support anti-sexual behavior. To me, that seems like a proverbial Trojan horse in the black community, because in the gay community, my wife had quite a few gay friends, and actually her best friend is homosexual. And they have a term that they call turning someone out. When a person who's gay meets a person who is not gay, and because they might be attracted to them, they try to bring them to the so-called gay side of things. And to me, the idea of something being mentally wrong with black people who don't support anti-sexual behavior is a way of basically psychoculturally conditioning us to facilitate that behavior, because essentially not supporting the behavior doesn't mean that you can't care for the person. If I have a family member who's homosexual, I'm going to love that person regardless, but I'm not going to support anti-natural behavior. And that there's a difference between the two. Now, if you're abusing a person, that's something else. But if you're just saying, I don't support that activity because it's not natural, but I love you as my sibling or whoever you might be to me, my friend, whatever the case may be, that's a different story. And I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you very much for taking my call.
For sure, which I think is an important point. I think some of our guests as well. I know Pam, RacismWS.com, Neely Fuller Jr., ProduceJustice.com, they have really emphasized that as well, that they think that's just another part of this racist strategy, where if you're a black person and you're not, you know, you're not out leading the gay pride parade, that you're quote unquote homophobic, or they just name call you, where it's, hey, I'm not saying that these people should be attacked. I'm not saying that these people should be beaten up. That I just do not support this as a constructive option for black people. I don't see this as an improvement. That doesn't mean that I should be called names. That doesn't mean that I'm going out to beat these people up or suggesting that they should be beaten up or anything of that nature. This is just a behavior that I do not think is correct, but they will try to come at you and say that there's something deficient about your thinking. And as I said, I'm just stating because he stated it on the program, Cleo Monago, who is a victim of white supremacy. That's what I've heard consistently. That almost seems to be a part of his standard rhetoric when he talks about this issue, that black people are not rational. Black people are not rational. Black people are not rational, which again, to me, it seems anti-black and suggesting that there's something defective about black people's thinking, which gets suggested all the time in a system of white supremacy. The caller at 3637, did you have questions, observations you wanted to add?
Yes, I did. May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I tuned in a little bit late. I did get some notes in. Us not understanding racism is really, really dangerous. And with the book that we are reading right now, that's all the proof. That's all the proof right there, because that's so sad that that happened. And with the Germans being rewarded for having babies, of course, you know, that speaks to the white genetic annihilation. Also, that uterus implant. I don't know if people know about that. They did a uterus transplant here, and it didn't work. And so that was part of that. And as with the reparations, I remember hearing Dr. Welsing on the Cal saying that, you know, if there's a white person that you want to support or you want to get behind, you should go ahead and ask them about how they feel about reparations. And so we know how the candidates, if people want to get behind Sanders, he already gave his views on it, you know, Clinton, all of them. So those were my observations. Okay, thank you.
Oh, for sure. Appreciate that. I just wanted to get this out. Again, this is not the 3-hour broadcast. This is only 90 minutes. So if folks have other things that they want to touch on, we have a limited amount of time, but I wanted to get this out. If folks have any comments, that's great. If not, we can, you know, get in other topics. And I even wanted to see if folks, some of our international listeners, if you all had comments on legalization of different narcotics, how that's playing out around the world, because that's been such a heavy issue in the U.S. over the past few years, really. But the thing I wanted to speak to, there have been so many different reports on these protests at Donald Trump rallies and black people specifically going to these rallies and saying either Black Lives Matter or sometimes just being there and being pummeled, being beaten up. They had an article in the Washington Post where it was a black female. She was there and she wrote about being molested when she was saying Black Lives Matter. She yelled out Black Lives Matter and, you know, just protesting at some of Donald Trump's events. And I think Thomas in New York, some of our other listeners have said that they don't think it is constructive. They would not recommend that black people, non-white people be at these events. It has been shown to be unsafe. And even the police, in addition to not protecting black people at these rallies, that at times the police have jumped on the black people after they have been assaulted by race soldiers at these events, that the police have then jumped on them and harassed the black person even further. To me, it seems similar if we were in Third Reich Nazi Germany, since we've been talking about Germany. If a quote-unquote Jewish person went to a Nazi rally with a sign or was yelling Jewish Lives Matter at such an event, it just seems like you are doing something that is very likely going to lead to you being harmed, where I just don't see, and it could just be, you know, my deficient thinking, but I just don't see what the constructive result of that could be. I will say for the record, I suspect some of these events that are highly televised, where they get to keep showing these images of black people being pummeled and assaulted at these events, I suspect some of it could be staged. Not that I'm saying this as an indictment of the black people who are victims, but I'm saying that I think there is a value almost akin to Joseph Goebbels in being able to have these type of events that get replayed over and over and over again, where you're seeing black people being subjected to violence with impunity, where no white person is arrested or charged, or white people just to get to go in and pummel a black person, pushing them around, shove them, punch them, beat them down, knock them on the ground. Yeah, just get to keep showing that over and over. Doesn't matter if it's a black female, black male, that right there adds to it, intensifies. When whites see that, yeah, I want to get my opportunity to smack a nigger down too. It encourages white violence, direct white violence against black people. I think there's an immense value to that. I think that is a part of the shift out of refinement to just, let's just be more explicit and let these niggas know where they stand. They've gotten too uppity. We had 8 years of this nigger in the White House, and we just want to be more explicit and let them know what it is and reestablish white domination as if it ever disappeared over the last 8 years. But that's just quick assessment. It would be, to me, it's the same thing. If a quote-unquote Jewish person was at a Heil Hitler rally yelling Jewish Lives Matter, it seems like they would be putting themselves in position where they could be killed, mauled, greatly terrorized. I do not see a constructive result from that. Unless folks had comments on that specifically, if there are other things folks wanted to mention, questions folks wanted to get in, feel free.
100% agree with what you just said there, because I could not understand why black people would be there protesting. Let them do what they want to do there. I don't understand why we go there, say Black Lives Matter, get assaulted. The police are not going to be on your side, because the police fully agree with what Donald Trump's saying there. So I don't understand why they keep on going there to say Black Lives Matter and get assaulted and wonder why they got assaulted. Just leave them to do what they're doing there, which is they want to practice racism. Because one of the guys who assaulted the last person there, it made me laugh at his quote and what he said, which was, I done it because he wasn't being an American, which I took to be, he's not white. And he's in my place and he's not white. Where I want to express my racism, he's coming there disturbing it. He's not a white person. That's why I hit him.
Mm-hmm. Other folks have commentary they wanted to get in as well. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Now I've got a mixed view on this. You see, for me, I've noticed that black people worldwide are not, in my opinion, are not politicized enough, and are not necessarily that interested in racism. Until it affects them, right? So, for me, if going there and me watching TV and seeing some black people get smacked to pieces, if that means I'm going to get up and become more involved in the reality of the situation, if that's what it takes, right? Then it, I mean, if that jolts me out of drinking my Red Stripe. Or my white rum, or drinking my special brew, right? Then I think it served its purpose. I think black people worldwide need to become more interested in things that affect them. And at the moment, my friends, people that I know, my family are not interested. You know, they're not interested, and the only time they seem to get interested is when they turn on the TV and something happens, and they go, "Oh God, that's really bad, isn't it? What's happening there?" You know, I mean, other than that, there's not a lot of interest, and that's the problem that I have. I mean, I can go and talk to people, and people might listen, you know, or people might say to me personally, "Andrew, you're not still into all that black stuff, are you? Are you still into all that, Andrew? Are you still into all that black stuff? Do you know what I mean?" Because that's what I get, right? And so, if it means, I mean, it might not mean anything, but if it means that, you know, some people are going to go, "Did you see that? Did you see them black people getting beat up? That's not right, man. Nah, that's not right." And if it causes a conversation, that's not. You see, the whole thing for me though is what the question for me is: what impact will it have in the lives of non-white people to cause them to do something, to get up and do something to end white supremacy? You know, that is the marker for me. And if it means, even if it means conversation where there was none, right, then that's not a bad thing. Because at the moment, there isn't a lot of conversation around anything to do with ending any kind of oppression that we suffer. Not with people that I know. And that's the problem that I have.
Logical.
But I do understand, you know, I mean, you know, at the same time, you know, because obviously for white people, as you said, right, I would say it gets white votes, you know, because at the end of the day, if a white man or white woman in a worldwide anywhere, right, and I'm a bit cheesed off of all this black Obama stuff, even though at the end of the day, he was the mouthpiece of, in my opinion, the mouthpiece of the system, and he had to play that part, especially with what he did in Africa with AFRICOM and all the rest of it. But that's a different story. But in America, if I'm white in America or worldwide, and I see some black people getting their heads smacked to pieces outside of a Donald Trump rally, right, that I'm going to think, man, this man, I'm going to give him my vote, right? So you see, but as a black person, I can't watch that. You know, what I think I need to watch is what it does for us. Does it politicize black people in any kind of way? That's all I care about. I know what it's going to do for white people, but what's it going to do for... Does it mean I could go down Brixton into the satay bar, sit in the satay bar, and have a conversation about something more than just women? Does it mean we can talk about that and then bring it on to something constructive, which is, well, you know what? That is what Farage wanted to do here. Effectively, even though he's gone now, that's what they want to do here. What are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do about it? Does it bother us? You know, that's where, no, I'm not saying it's going to go there, but if I can have one conversation like that,
it's better than not having one conversation like that, basically.
The caller at 9039, did you have an observation question you wanted to get in?
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Gus, and all the participants, all the listeners? I've been listening for a little bit, maybe like 30, 40 minutes. And the guy who was speaking about the homosexuality and, you know, how if you even, if they're having a conversation about being homosexual or whatever, you know, whoever you happen to be around, and, you know, your eyes might squint a little bit, they attack you. Oh, you're a homophobe. Oh, you know, you got something against this and that or whatever. Oh, we're just like, our fight is just like your fight, being a black person. And I always say, no, it's not. The same thing that the guy was saying, you know, I can accept you. I can love you. I can take care of you. I can be a human to you. You know what I mean? But I can't accept that lifestyle that, what you're doing, and it's unnatural, period. If you can't, I like to tell my kids, you're here for two reasons. Take care of each other and to make more people. You know what I mean? Whether you disagree or not, that's how I feel. And you can take care of somebody, but you can't make more people having sex with, say, you know, have a same-sex relationship. So, and then you hear it, as he was saying, you hear it from, the candidates, like, you know, we all need to be together at where it's a lot of black people at, a lot of minorities, you know what I'm saying? You know, we're all in this together. It's LGBT, whatever it's called. We're all in this together. It's a black thing. It's a gay pride thing. And I'm always like, no, it's not. It's not. It's definitely not the same thing. What we're fighting for, as a lady said as well, what we're fighting for is our race. You're talking about putting sexuality over race, and there's no way that we can win like that, because then, just like with everything else, that takes precedence over all of our issues. Oh, this is gay things or this and that. So I just want to call in and make that comment and say thank you, and I'll mute my line on that.
For sure. Appreciate that commentary as well. The caller at 4231, did you have a question, observation you wanted to add?
Yes, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
All right, peace to all of the callers, to the host, and to the platform. I would like to read off of page 166 in the ISIS papers real quick, where it says, the concept and the color of God are focused on most strongly in the area of religion, although all areas of people activity overlap, influence, and fuse with one another. The global white supremacy system evolved a religion referred to as Christianity. And furthermore, I would add that, you know, in the area of politics right now, as far as dealing with the candidates, national security, international human rights, terrorism, you know, all of this seems to be embedded in white supremacy. And now that the talk has also included religious talk, as far as referring to ISIL or under what I call Freemasonry or some type of whatever they call it, ISIS, that refers to religion also. And I see that as, you know, a form of white supremacy expressing itself in politics. And, you know, I really just think that black people should remove themselves from the United States and form their own country, however that may be. And the one question I would possibly have for any callers overseas is about what do they, you know, say about Moors or Moorish era in your part of the country, because in Webster's dictionary, they define Moorish as any of the invaders who invaded Spain in 700. So that is a big issue as far as the politics goes, as far as black people, I think.
Could I say something very quickly, Gus?
Yes, ma'am.
With regards to black people forming their own country, we already have one. It's called Africa. And you'll notice that white supremacy is there as well. So until we solve that problem, you're not going to escape it anywhere you go on this earth.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that would generally be my observation as well. I think that gets suggested pretty frequently about black people separating. That gets suggested pretty frequently about black people having their own area on the planet, that could help rectify their problems. Even setting aside the practicality of how that would be done, that still, in my view, would not solve the problem of racism, white supremacy. I think they have different spots on the continent where you have black people. Even black people are allegedly in charge, and it still has not seemed to solve the problem of racism, white supremacy. And even, as I said, even getting beyond the practicality of doing such a thing, I just don't see where that's going to solve the problem of racism, white supremacy, black people, quote unquote, separating from whites.
Can I just add that I mean only in the context of the African American, not black people, but the African American black person actually separating themselves from the entity that is being used to enslave them? Not necessarily being anti-government, but taking notice of racism, racist white supremacists in the government that abuse that government. And that is the only tie that those particular African Americans are observing, even though they're not going to escape racism, white supremacy by disassociating the political ties that they had with the Europe, the Caucasians, or the racist white supremacists under the United States of America. But I think that it does add options for that particular group of people to start to replace the system of racism and white supremacy with justice, with their move on the chessboard, and try to stabilize the rest of the black countries in Africa that, you know, we consider a country.
Okay.
African-American, you know, that doesn't tell you where I'm
from. We'll leave it there. I just wanted to get in because this is not our full program. We're just doing 90 minutes, and we've gone over that a little bit. Again, the practicality is very important. I think practicality is very important in terms of where black people, if they're going to have a quote-unquote separate region, how that would be done. I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. If you are on the line, if you're moving around or shifting, we can hear that a little bit. But yeah, I'm very big on pointing out practicality in terms of how that would be done if black people are going to get a quote-unquote separate spot of territory in this area of the world, how that would be done, where that would be done. Are whites going to abdicate this region? And is that ultimately going to improve things? And if so, how? For black people, and just for the starter, I have not seen the practicality of that, where whites are going to be willing to give up the resources to allow such a thing to happen. And then to me, it just seems that that would be the most molested, abused spot in this part of the world. If they're going to corral all black people in this spot, that whites would just have a field day dumping all sorts of toxins and everything that they can to make sure that this just ends up being a total wasteland where they have corralled niggers. That's about what I would expect to happen if whites did allow such a thing. But again, I don't even see any evidence that whites are going to allow such a thing to happen. This has been a concept that people have talked about for a long time, and I have not even seen a starter to this sort of thing. In fact, the few times where I have seen a starter, whites have pretty much responded with direct violence and ended those sort of campaigns pretty quickly. I think the Republic of New Africa, that was one such example, and whites responded pretty quickly in stopping that whole enterprise. But folks can ponder on it, think about it, and come to their own conclusions. Just follow the logic, what I encourage all the time, follow the logic. We did our 90. Definitely appreciate the participation from folks worldwide, states as well. Always good to hear folks earlier. We'll definitely encourage folks ask questions. Always good, I think, to exchange views with non-white people in different parts of the world to grasp the global nature of racism, white supremacy. Anything quick, any of our international callers wanted to get in before we wrap up?
Go on, Mr. Fox. Go ahead.
Sorry, just a quick question. After the Gerard Ball you had on the broadcast, Gus?
Jared Ball from way back, yeah. black male. Yeah, I do. He was on the pro. I think 2011. He was on the program.
Yeah, I think the program after that. You said you're gonna have Hannah Poole on, but did you ever get her on? Because I can't find the MP3 to it.
She canceled on us hours before we were going to broadcast. She, and I did a program, we talked about this, but basically she said that she looked, after she had agreed, this is weeks after she had agreed to come on the program to talk about her book. This is a black female journalist and author in the UK. She was adopted by whites, and that's in her book where she talks about being adopted by white people in the UK. She looked at our website and saw our stance, coincidentally, on quote-unquote homosexual behavior. And she said, oh, I don't agree with that at all. Like that, I might not even be willing to come and talk. And I was like, man, that's really unprofessional to wait until it's hours before we're supposed to broadcast and say that I'm not willing to speak to you or I have problems speaking with you because you do not support homosexual activity. And this was a private conversation. We, you know, just leading up, I was confirming really that she was going to be on the program and to talk about her book and what have you, and some articles that she'd written about racism. And it was, you know, all of this resistance about, you know, our stance on quote unquote homosexual behavior. She kept interrupting me, and it was just, it was really unpleasant. And I said, I can only emphasize the, in my view, that is not professional. If you're going to agree to speak to someone on a radio program, it certainly doesn't mean that you agree with every stance that they've taken or every guest that they've had on the program. She had agreed weeks ago to speak with us and then reneged on that commitment just based on our stance on this one issue. And she did not visit the program. It was, I spoke about it on the program. This is back in 2011. It was I was not pleased about the whole situation because I had done prep work already. This was hours before we were supposed to go live. But yeah, that did not happen, unfortunately.
So that means you had to read the book as well, because I think, is it Pam? She actually got the book for you. So you had to rush that, and then she didn't actually come on the show.
That is correct. Book, My Father's Daughter. That's the name of the book that Pam did supply.
And she couldn't come on the show and champion her views on her on homosexuality. She just decided not to come on at all.
That was about how things worked out.
Yes. Oh, God.
I guess we're not being rational about the about the issue. I guess that was the case. Was there one other person who had a comment they wanted to get in? I don't know if it was Andrew or...
Yeah, just really quickly, actually. I've been listening to a couple of the shows, Gus, on podcasts, and what I like is your focus, or what you said about how young non-white, how young African black children were treated during the enslavement period, effectively molested by white people. Now, that's an area that is never discussed, ever discussed, really. What I've noticed, in the summertime last year, there was an exhibition by an African-American woman, Kyra Walker, and you may be, I don't know if you are familiar with her work, but she focuses a lot on what white people did in the enslavement period to African children. And white people appear to like her work, but black people that I've showed her work to have the response that you might imagine, and it causes a lot of discussion, and it's a good way of engaging black people into basically the discourse of racism specifically, and it works because because it's one thing, what one thing we're all used to is what white people did to black adults during the enslavement period. No one even thinks what they did to black children. And so it's not a topic of conversation, right? But once you make it a topic of conversation, it's brilliant. It's true
That's the first thing, but it's actually excellent for engaging black people in discussion. It's brilliant. So I just wanted just to add that.
Ghost.
Muted my line. I am familiar with Carl Walker's work. She did a big sculpture not that long ago of a black female. It was done in a deliberately... It was done in a deliberately sexualized manner to emphasize
all
the
right.
systemic rape of black people. And that did get a lot of attention. And I think she did it in Sugar to emphasize that how a lot of this was the Sugar Enterprise was built literally on the rape and torture of black people. I am still picking up some background noise before we wrap up. Folks could just kind of watch some of the moving around. You can use your mute button if you know you're in a loud environment. Did somebody have a quick question they were going to get in before we wrap up?
Yeah, sorry. Are you actually going to have a show with Justice again? Because she's probably in her late teens now. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, and not many young black children have been introduced to racism, white supremacy at a young age. So it would be interesting to find out how she's doing now and what she's actually encountered as a teenager, young adult, and being, you know, skilled in talking to white supremacists at an early age, highly skilled white supremacists at an early age. So that'd be very interesting if you could actually do that one time.
Absolutely. I know she is much older. She has very different time constraints at this point. She literally will be 18 and she's counting the days. So she is in a different spot on the planet. But I know she has noted a lot just in school and taking college prep work, college courses, that the sexual confusion is massive because that's something that they're obviously having to talk about in their classes and it's being widely discussed in this part of the world and all of that. So that is something that she has gotten a lot of firsthand experience with in the classroom from her instructor. So she definitely can speak to that from her experience and with what information that we talked about on the program on a pretty regular basis. She could probably add quite a bit on that subject matter, but we'll see if we can make that happen in the future to get an update on what she has been up to since she has aged significantly. with that, that will wrap us up. We went a little bit longer than our 90 minutes, but hopefully constructive information. We should be back later in the week. Definitely doing our broadcast on metaphors, just being sure that folks are mindful about what they're saying. Consistently encourage folks to just really be attentive to the way that words are used when we talk about racism, white supremacy, even looking back at some of the programs that we've had over the years where metaphors have come up, just to unpack what's being said, just to make it clear why I do and have encouraged folks to be very mindful. Not saying not to use metaphors, because I use them. Everybody uses metaphors to help explain and illustrate what it is that they're saying, concepts that they're trying to convey. But just to be very careful, because frequently when white people and victims of white supremacy are discussing racism, a lot of metaphors are employed and they are not correct. At minimum, they are not adding clarity, in my view, to racism, white supremacy. And frequently, I would submit that they are comparing things that are not equal at all. That is a massive part of confusion. Whites do this deliberately, I submit. That's just one of the ways that they practice racism. But I fear frequently we as victims, often we rely on metaphors to explain ourselves about racism, white supremacy, and they are not adding clarity to the conversation at all. It's just adding confusion and, as I would say, distorting concepts, distorting the truthfulness, correctness about what racism is, how it works. But that program should be coming up this week. You can just check the Facebook page, Black Talk Radio page, for upcoming events, information, program times, all that good stuff. Thanks to all the folks who were able to participate. I hope it was a constructive investment of your, depending on where you are in the world, Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, wherever you happen to be. I know for folks in the UK, this broadcast reminded me whites are in charge of the time. They move the clocks an hour ahead early in the U.S., so they've already done it here. They don't do that in the U.K. until, I think it's next week. They do that, I think it's the 28th, so it's normally an 8-hour time difference between myself and people that are in the U.K. It's now, for this short interval, it's a 7-hour time difference, so I even had to keep up with that to make sure I was giving out correct information for when the program was going to air for our folks who could participate. But always great to hear from you all. We'll look forward to doing it again next month, and I hope people are able to remain safe, constructive, follow the logic. That's something that Dr. Welsing would certainly encourage that we are all doing. Maximize our Black self-respect so that we can use our brain computers to produce concepts and solutions to racism, white supremacy. I didn't get to touch on legalization, but I will just again encourage sobriety would be best for non-white people, Black people especially, under conditions of white terrorism. You never know when it's going to be Darren Holtzclaw, Darren Wilson, who pulls you over when they're the one in the flashing lights. You want to make sure that you're lucid, clear thinking to make the best possible decisions. The McPherson report was referenced earlier. That was in reference to the slaughter of Stephen Lawrence. We had his mom, Doreen Lawrence, on the program several times in talking about the systemic racism in the UK amongst the police department. Even there, it would be a great idea. You do not want to be out and about. You never know when you're going to run into an enforcement official where you need to make excellent decisions and be able to use your words in the best manner to keep yourself as safe as possible. With that, if you have any problems, questions, gripes, feel free to drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com, and we will do our best to answer if you need to find something in the archives to get you satisfied. With that, I will read Dr. Welsing's prayer since her birthday was this past Friday and they had the memorial service this weekend. I will go to work to see if I can get those links for people if they want to get the DVD or get additional information about the memorial service from yesterday. The prayer reads, "A liberating Black people's prayer for justice and peace to say and envision when in prayer. Thou who art blacker than a trillion midnights, whose eyes shine brighter than a billion suns, thou whose hair doeth coil tighter than a million springs, radiating all energy throughout the universe, we beseech thee, one and only one, to give us total strength to carry out thy will for the universe, to establish justice on planet Earth, and live in peace." Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, remind us to maximize, demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. A victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.